Have your Bibles this morning, turn to Psalms 127, and let's stand in honor of reading God's Word. Psalms 127, verse 1, 2, and 3, and then I'm going to go to 128:1. Everybody there?
No.
No?
No.
We'll get you some hearing aids. And the Word says, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, and to eat bread of sorrow. For so he gives his beloved sheep. Verse 3, behold, children are heritage to the Father. The fruit of the womb is a reward. And 128 verse 1. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning, Lord. And Father, we come to you in a time that, Father, the reason our world is in the shape it is in today, Lord God, it started in the home, God, when the home fell apart, Lord. And God, we pray this morning and thank you, Father, for those men that were up front here, Lord God, that are here, Lord God, that are trying their best, Lord God, to raise their families, their children, their grandchildren, Lord God, in the way that you want us to, Lord. And Father, we just pray right now, God, and that, God, this service, Lord God, does not go in vain, Lord God. And as we go through these scriptures, Lord God, that people would hear your word, Lord God, and not only hear what it says, Lord God, but believe it, Lord. And Father, look around them, Lord God, and see, God, the things that's going on in this world, Lord God, that shouldn't be, Lord. And I just pray that you just bless this day, Lord God. I pray again for every father. Pray, Lord God, that you just bless them, Lord God. And Father, if we have anyone here today, Lord God, that doesn't know you, Lord, I pray that they'd make that choice today. And we give you the praise and the honor, glory for it all. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to open up with a little I don't tell too many jokes, but I was listening to Billy Graham yesterday, and he was speaking, and he was it was a Father's Day sermon that he was preaching, and he told them in the very beginning, he said, I want to tell you men something. And right off, he said, I know it's Father's Day, but he said, you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Mama. And he said, so I want to give you a little advice. And y'all listen, Dr. Billy Graham said this. He said, what you need to do is treat your wife like a thoroughbred, and if you do, she won't turn out to be an old nag. So y'all remember, that's where it starts at. Yeah. And that's what we want to talk about this morning, is the family and the foundation of the home. And what, you know, I was thinking way back when I was a kid, when I first started working, I was on a construction job with W.H. Knox Construction in Huntsville. They built 45 through Huntsville way back in. And those overpasses that are out there on them highways, you know, you drive over them and they stand up and they do what they're supposed to do. But underneath that overpass, there's a foundation that you wouldn't believe. Back in those days, and I'm sure they've changed things now, except they... And what I'm getting at is that they're built on a solid foundation. And them overpasses, what you see sticking up in the air in concrete, there's usually three times that much in the ground holding that thing up. Same thing, you go to Houston and when they're building one of these big skyscrapers, it takes them a year and a half to get the foundation. And so I use that as illustration this morning to say what the psalmist is saying here. And he says, unless the Lord builds the house, you labor in vain. And think about that. Young men, even if you're not married now, I don't care what age you are, it's never too late to stop and turn around and go the other direction. But our house will not stand. And that's what the Word is saying here. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. In other words, you can do everything that you want, that you can do everything in your earthly power, everything. You can make money. You can build the biggest, fanciest brick home. You can drive the most fanciest cars, wear the best clothes that you can wear, and I'm going to tell you something. Sooner or later, the house is going to come crashing down. You have got to build your home on the Lord Jesus Christ. God says, unless the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the household, then you're not going to have a household. I'm going to tell you. That is the problem with the world we live in today. I talk about it all the time, and that's, you know, when we can look back, those of us who are 70 and over 70 and in our 60s and some in our 50s, you can look back at how your mom and daddy raised you and how you were brought up, and it is a completely different family than it was back then. Amen. Today, the family, you go in some of these restaurants to eat, and the mama's sitting there, the daddy's sitting there, and the kids are sitting there, and they all got a cell phone, blah, 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 you know, doing this. There's no time for a family to bond together and love each other. And when they come home, nowadays, they got baseball, basketball, football, track, drama, whatever it is at the school that they got going on. So they don't get home to just time to take a bath and go to bed and eat a bite of supper. There's no family time. When I was a kid, we came in at 5 o'clock in the evening, 6 o'clock. We all sat down at the table. Daddy prayed. And we ate. And after we ate, we would go into the living room before we went to bed, and he'd read the Bible. That's what God is talking about here. Not to say that my family was perfect, but we made it. My two siblings and I, we get along. We've always got along. We loved each other. We never had any problem when our parents passed away, because we had that foundation. And our kids today do not have that foundation. We have let the world take over everything that there is. And so there's no foundation of the home. And where there's no foundation, think about one of these cars that we got out there. You can run down the road 100 miles an hour. You can go down the freeway. I was down to Houston the other day, and they were passing me. I was running 75, and it's like I was sitting still. But you just think, if them cars that they built didn't have the proper suspension and the proper foundations, they wouldn't make it. People would get killed. They get killed now, but they would really get killed if it wasn't for that foundation. The family has to have a foundation. You know, and it's so crazy today, we got psychologists, we got all kind of people they send you to and talk to. A couple goes to get a divorce, and they send them to two or three different people before they even get to go to court to try to talk them out of it, which I guess is a good thing, mediation, which is a good thing. But what I'm trying to say, if you build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ, your house is going to stand. It's going to stand. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Now, let me say something. I know there's a lot of people here. There's a lot of people everywhere nowadays that's got a divorce. I ain't talking about your past marriage. God said, whatever you're doing, the day that you make up your mind to serve Him, you start right then. I'm not talking about look back on past mistakes. Today can be the day that it starts. And no matter how old the kids are, it's better to start them young, but no matter how old they are, if you will make up your mind today that you're going to do what God says, and you start reading that Bible, and you start praying, and it's hard to do, because I've been there. You know, you get, especially when the kids get up in high school and everything, to take time and to pray with them and to get their attention. But if you make that effort, there's a lot of times we tried it, it didn't work. They just, you know how kids are. They just, they wasn't interested. But you still draw their attention and let them know. You help them to understand what the foundation of the world is. The kids that we got in this world today, they don't know. We talk about the way they act and things people do, but you look at them, and the problem is, regardless of what the president say, the government, the law, it is a foundation of God that this country and this world was built on, and we have gotten away from it. And until we get back to God, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And I don't see how much worse it can get. It is in a terrible mess right now. But God says, unless The Lord hath built the house. They labor in vain who build it unless the Lord guards the city. The watchman stays awake in vain. And that's what I said. It don't make any difference how much you guard your wife and your kids. It don't make any difference how you try to protect from harm and that. And what God is saying, unless He is in charge, the house is going to fall, because even though the watchman was watching, didn't work. Because God wasn't the foundation. God was not the foundation of it. He goes on to verse 2 and says, it is in vain for you to rise up early, to set up late, to eat the bread of sorrow. He beloves his beloved sheep. God blesses us. And unless, I've already said it, but no matter how much you work, no matter what you do, no matter how much you have, no matter where you go, no matter how many toys you buy the kids, how many computers, how many pianos, guitars, they don't, if you buy them the Bible and get them in the Bible, the family will stand. The family will stand. I am an example of it. And our family was not perfect. The family I raised was not perfect. It's still not perfect. None of us will ever be perfect. But we build a foundation on God, and God will get us through every bit of it. Every bit of it. So you got to put God first. And you got to pray. You got to study God's word. And let me tell you something. You have got to get into a church where you are getting fed the word of God. You have got to get in Sunday school. You got to get in Bible school. You got to get in Wednesday night Bible studies. You got to get in prayer groups. It's not something that you just come down here this morning and say, I'm going to put God first in my family. You got to put Him first in my family, in your family. God says, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But you put God first. And what God is saying here in verse 2 is you can do all those things that you want to do, but unless I am the God of the house will not stand. And if you do, I will feed the sheep that I love. I will bless it. And He blesses. I told on Wednesday night, that y'all may think this is crazy, but it's the honest God truth. I hadn't lost my mind. My witness is sitting right there. Last Sunday, my grandkids played in a state championship for the most valuable whatever league they're in. It's a elite baseball league. They played in the state championship. They were tied. They played. It started at 6 o'clock Sunday afternoon, and at 9:30 it was finally over. Let me tell you something. They played 3 Texas shootouts, and they were still tied. And then the third one is one they finally won. But Joanna and I were sitting there, and I said, you know, I am tired, hot. I wish somebody, it's kind of like Jerry Clyde, if somebody needs to shoot up in there amongst us, so somebody got to have some relief. So I told her, I said, God says where two agree that I believe He'll answer a prayer. And he said, yeah. Jonah said, yeah. We held hands right there and prayed. Within 30 seconds, our grandson hit one about 340 feet and they won. And I'm not telling you that bragging. That's how God has worked in our lives. And I'm not perfect. I'm not sitting up here saying I'm perfect, but that's how, when we made up our mind, and it hadn't been that long, August 1989 is when we really got down serious. From that point on, we hadn't been perfect. We've had ups and downs, kid problems. Y'all know all the problems we've had. But God has always blessed us somehow or another. Because on Sunday mornings, we go to church. When the kids was there, they went to church. And when they left the house, they left them to do whatever they wanted to do. But like my daddy told my brother and I, my sister, as long as you live under my roof, you're going to go to church. And It stuck. God says if you train them up in the ways of the Lord, they will return even though they may get lost. God, don't never give up on him. Don't never give up on a kid praying for him, because he will always be with you. So you got to put God first. You got to pray. You got to get in the Bible study. And here's something else. This is for, God says right here, in verse 3, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Let me tell you something about them children, the little boy and the little girl. There's some things that I wrote down. I was sitting there last night thinking about the children. And, you know, usually we got 30 in children's church in the morning. There's a lot of young children here, a lot of them. So what I'm talking about today can really be applied right now. The first thing about them little kids is you got to train them up in the way of the Lord. I've already said that. But you got to be firm with them. You understand that? I'm not talking about beat them to death for no reason. I'm talking about being firm with them. When they are wrong, and the problem with most families now, even, believe it or not, Joanna was a better disciplinarian than our family than I was. And sometimes that led to a lot of, she'd tell them, don't do that, and Daddy said, oh, not this kid. And then later on I saw, you know. And so I'm telling you from experience, you got to love them, but you got to be firm with them. But the problem is nowadays, a kid can want to just say a computer of some kind, or an iPhone, that's what they like, iPhone. And you know that, number one, it's too expensive. You know that you can't afford it. If you do afford it, it's going to put you in a bind. You know that the stuff that they can access on it is real bad. And so you tell them, no, you can't have one. And then they start crying to mama or daddy. And the other one changes their mind and then goes to the other parent and says, you know, it won't hurt that baby to have it. You know, just get them one of these little ones, you know, cheap ones. They can't do all that. They can do anything on any one of them they get. But what I'm saying is you got to be firm and you got to say no. And the best way to handle that, I learned through experience. Oh, Lord, I'm going to get in trouble. 49 years this year? Whew, made it. You have got to agree. The mama and daddy have got to agree on the punishment or the being firm or tell them no, because if one says yes and the other says no, what does that do to the kid? They don't know which way to go. They don't know, you know, daddy's saying that I got to read the Bible and I got to do this, but mama's saying it's okay to do this. See what I'm saying? You got to be firm with them. You got to set up rules for them and you got to stand by them. If they holler, let them holler. Let them hoop. But in the long run, they will appreciate it. I promise you, they will appreciate what you have told them, because I'm telling you, I am a living example of when my daddy and my mama and people that were right here in this church when I was a kid, stuff that they put in my heart. I tell y'all every Mother's Day and then every Father's Day about Sister Esther Underwood and this little lad of mine. It didn't make any difference how far away from God I got. I would lay down at night and I'd this little lad of mine. I would pray. I always prayed. But I wasn't with the Lord. But I could always think, and I think that little light, I came back in August the 4th, 1989, to that little light. And that little light has shined ever since because of what people do. You don't know. I mean, grandpa, grandma, brothers and sisters in the church, correct these kids. Tell them right from wrong. If we don't tell them, they don't know. And let me tell you something. The world, they don't care whether they do it or not. The world wants them, they can do, like I said last Sunday, they can do whatever they want to do. They can be whatever they want to be. The world don't care because the world has no common sense. God's word is built on nothing but God and common sense and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is, you have got to be firm with that child. And you got to agree to be firm. One can't be like I was, and especially when they were little. They're just a baby. But the baby, statistics say from 1 to 7 years old, they learn more and they of what they're going to carry the rest of their life than at any age. And so the younger they are, the easier it is to get to that little heart and plant those seeds in it. So you got to be firm. And here's the other thing. I see a lot of. And I learned this from raising kids too. You got to show them that you appreciate them, that you love them. There's so many kids that just want to, daddy comes in from work and mama comes in to work. Wasn't like that one from work. It wasn't like that when I was a kid. Mama was home with us all day and in the winter we was at school and she was home. We got home. But daddy comes home. He's tired. He's wore out from all the things that happened that day. And just say, a little boy walks up to him and says, look what we're doing in science class, daddy. Look at this report I got. Look how good I've done. I ain't got time for that right now. What does that do to a kid? You got to take time to show them that you love them, that you appreciate them. And I don't care how bad the boss has ate you out. I don't care how bad your day has been. We got to be like Jesus in the flesh. We represent him. We got to love them. That's when you reach down to love them, because they're reaching out for somebody. And I promise you, if you don't reach out to them, you know who he is? The world and all this stuff. Perfect. There's lots of examples in this church, but one that I don't even know if he's here this morning. But Luke Johnson, Ricky and Melissa, kid, from a time that I came in church, he was just a little bitty fellow when I come to church. But he really caught on to God's word, and he still does, and he calls me all the time. And when he was in school, he would call me, or Ricky would call me and say, Luke wants to talk to you. And he would be asking me about something that the school teacher was saying that was against God and where to find the scripture at. And he done it a million and still does it. Amen. Called me 2 or 3 weeks ago, wanting to know about something. What does this say? Because the word of God was planted in his heart and it was shown to him that he was loved and it was appreciation there. You got to appreciate what they're doing and show them that you love them and appreciate them. That's what God says do. You know, I say appreciation, you got to show them affection, you got to show them that you love them. Because I'm telling you, if they don't, them both of them boys of mine are taller than I am, and both of them are bigger than I am now, and I guarantee you right now, they will hug my neck wherever I'm at and tell me they love them. That's what you want to do. That you got to bring up a kid, because people, if you do not raise them up in the way of the Lord, and if you don't love them, and if you don't show them you appreciate them, you know what's going to happen? The world is going to get them. That's why God says, unless a house is built on that foundation, it's going to fall. You know, it's in Matthew and the Beatitudes where he talks about the house built on the sand and the house built in the rock. You build it on the sand, you build it on the world, what is going to happen? The flood is going to come and wash it away, whatever that flood might be. The flood is going to come. The devil is going to wash it away. The worldly things are going to wash it away, and it's going to fall. But with the Lord, the storm will come and the winds will blow, but your house will stand. Another thing we got to do, listen. You come in a door, like I said a while ago, you come in a door tonight, you don't want to hear nothing. You really don't want to even talk to you. Why? Because you worked so hard. Things have gone wrong. You got a lot of things on your mind, but you got to remember that you are a daddy, that you are the leader of the house. And not only do you got to listen to mama, you got to listen to them children, because if you don't listen to them, they're going to get on that internet and find somebody that will listen to them. And you can just look at the news every night and Or if you got one of them cell phones, when that buzzer goes off with Amber Alerts all the time, people run off with 12-year-old girls, 13-year-old girls running off with grown men because they got on the internet and they listened to all the junk. Why? They would be at home right now had daddy and mama showed them love and affection and really showed them what they cared about. You have got to care. You got to love them children. And I say, you know, the storms are going to come. That don't mean you're going to have a perfect home. That's not what God is telling us here. He says, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. What he is saying, that things are going to happen, but he is there. He is a rock. It doesn't make any difference. If God is there, you're going to get through the storm, whatever it is. And believe me, we have had some, you know, y'all all know, I don't even talk about it no more. My granddaughter, when she committed suicide, if it wouldn't have been for God, a 12-year-old baby killing herself, I couldn't have made it. Had we not built the house on the Lord, we couldn't have made it. But because we did, I don't even remember. Sometimes I go back in my mind and remember. I don't even remember what happened that day or that week or the time has passed. I don't even remember. Because God had us and he just carried us right to it. And that's what God will take your family. He will, and even though you do all these things, you show them appreciation, you show them affection, you show them that you love them, you listen to them, there's going to be times when they don't pay attention to you because they're kids, you know. And that's when it gets back to the, you got to be firm. You got to show them. You got to tell them. You got to make them understand. And then there's times when, I talked to a friend of mine yesterday, a perfect example, Lord just give me. He adopted a little boy at 7 years old. And he went to church at Northside Baptist Church until he graduated from high school. And then he decided that, and he was brought up in the ways of the Lord. He done everything he could do for him. He just went to penitentiary, 8-year aggravated sentence. And he said, it just breaks my heart. But you know what? The district attorney tried to help him because they were They were important people, so-called important people in the town and hospital, all that. And the DA told him, said, if you'll just sign this paper, we'll give him 2 years probation. And he said, nope, I want him to go to penitentiary. I want him to learn a lesson. That's being firm. That's hard to do. He said, you let him get down there and get a dose of it, and then we'll talk about some of that stuff. But anyway, he winds up getting 8 years. And it's like 2026 for him, comes up for pro. But now, he wants to visit him last Sunday, and he told him, he said, Daddy, he said, I realize where I messed up now. And he said, all I want to do is do the best I can do and get all the help I can get. I've already gotten a Bible study in prison, and I want to get out, and I want to do good. And he called his mom, and him and his mom had failed. He got a call, and he got to call his mom and told her he was sorry. That is, even though he was brought up in church, attended every Bible school, every youth camp, all that stuff that he had, he came back to the Lord. If you bring them up in the ways of the Lord, they will return. That's one of God's promises. And God fulfills every promise that he tells us. Even if bad things happen, God promises he'll bring him back. There's no doubt in my mind where my granddaughter's at. Because I know what she was taught. We have to be firm. We have to show them that we appreciate them. And we have to show them affection. And we got to listen to them. Listen to them. And the last thing I wrote down yesterday, I remember this. You got to take part in their lives. There's a lot of things. I remember when my daughter, and I failed at this. Father, a daughter and son danced at the school. I wasn't going for nothing. And I didn't. And I think back on it, and I asked her about it. And she said, yeah, I was heartbroken, but it didn't even bother me. You see? There's a lot of places these little girls are going to ask daddy to go to a father and son, or to a father and son banquet, or to a daughter and daddy dance at the school, or just go to the science fair, or now they have days where the parents go and eat lunch with the kids. We've been to a lot of them, and even with our grandparents, as grandparents, and you'd be surprised at the lots of little kids are sitting there with no parents. And think about that. See, I never thought about nothing like that. I was thinking about me. I wasn't thinking about Michelle and what she was going to, if she went, she's not going to have no daddy and everybody else is. So we got to listen to them and we got to take part in their life. You may not like baseball. You may not like football. My daddy hated football, loved baseball, and I played football. But I can remember him. He would never sit down at a football game in Cold Spring. He'd stand up there by the concession stand, eat hot dogs, and talk. But he was there. I knew he was there. And when I got hurt, messed up my leg, he was right out on the field. He was there. I knew he was there. And the same is true with our Heavenly Father. No matter what happens, no matter how your day goes, God will always be there and he will always show up when you're down and when you're up. But man, listen, make sure that your house is built in that bed of stone. And the only thing that there's nothing in this whole world we live in today that's going to, nothing is going to sustain what we're going through and, Lord, what we're going to go through except Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's the only thing. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 24, he tells us about all the things that's going to go into the very day that we're living in. And he says, blessed be the little children. You know, blessed be the children. Blessed are those who bring up their children in the house of the Lord, for they will return. People, build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. So I ask you this morning, do you know the Lord? Is the Lord the head of your household? Is there things that you need to do? We're going to have an invitation in a minute. Daddy, maybe it's time for you to come down there and get on your knees or pray where you're at. Maybe you never accepted the Lord. That's the beginning of the foundation. That's tying on to the rock. He's the chief cornerstone. He is everything. You got to get tied with him before you try to do it, because you're going to fail. So, I guess it's like we read the other day in Isaiah. The Lord says, let's reason. Let's reason. Make up your mind. Choose me and live, or choose death, sin, and death. What's it going to be? Because that's what's going to happen to your family. Start today. It's never too late. Start today. Like I said, I never was perfect. Not perfect now. Still mess up. Still got stuff going on in my family. But that's okay. God is there. And God will take care of every bit of it if we will just give it to God. But man, time to stand up. It's time to stop saying, I'm going to do that, and, you know, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do it. And walk out here and forget every word that's been said. That's what God wants you to hear. If there was ever a time that men need to be the head of the household, it is now. You got to stand up. You got to draw the line. You got to say no when it's no. You got to be firm, and you got to say yes when it's yes. You got to be firm. God says, let your yeses be yes and your noes be no. Do what God designed the family. And that's the very first family. God designed it to function, to grow, to children to grow, for everybody to grow toward his kingdom. And we got away from it, and that's what's on the news tonight. Let's pray. Father God, I come to you this morning, and again, I praise you. I honor you. Lord, I thank you for those fathers that are here this morning, Lord God, and this good crowd, and I pray, Lord God, right now that your word has not fallen on dark places or fallen in the grass, but they've fallen on solid ground, Lord God, and the hearts of men and women, Lord God, and Father, that those seeds would come forth, Lord God, and grow and stand the storm, Lord God, but we know that we're only going to make it built on your foundation. And that foundation is that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus, that you went to that cross, that you gave your life, that we would have life. And Father, we pray right now for every man here, for every family here, Lord God, that's represented today. And God, may we carry the flag on through however long it is. We don't know when you're coming. We don't know when this world ends, God. But we know with you, we can turn everything around. As you said, if my people who call by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, I will heal their land. Father, we praise you. In your name we pray. Amen.